As I was thinking about what to do before we start the book of Joshua, and before I head out of town, and I had one open sermon, I don't normally go, hey, it's July 4th, I'm going to preach an Independence Day sermon. But I got to thinking about freedom. And I got to thinking about freedom in Christ. And I got to thinking about what freedom is. And this came to mind. Most people don't understand. They beg for freedom. They desire freedom. But they don't want what real freedom is. You don't want to argue for what America really is, because it's going to cost you something. You have to be able to stand right there and yell out, I want to keep my guns. And right here, have somebody yell out, I want to get rid of the guns, and understand that you're both American. You don't want that. But that is what freedom in the United States of America is. It's costly. That's why we have Memorial Day. That's why we have Veterans Day. It is costly. It is complicated. Because people can argue and be really, really, really good at it. And they can tell stories. And they can sell stories. And they can put it on the screen and be emotional about it. And you can go, but I thought this. But well, maybe now I think this. And I understand it Satibro and up with the gun thing. If I don't have guns, I can't protect myself. But if they don't have guns, they can't shoot me. Both of them make sense. All right? I am not lobbying for one or the other. Here's my point. Freedom is costly. And freedom is difficult to understand. And most of us run around singing about the land of the free and the home of the brave, and we are not really free. We don't understand what Christ really did for us and the freedom that He actually gave us. We don't really get it. And if we get it, we're not living like it. You know why? Because most of you, if I stood up here and I said, are you free? You'd be like, yes, I'm free. God bless America. But you owe a bank. And you are financially burdened every week by the chains of that mortgage, by the chains of that cell bill, by the chains of that car bill, by the chains of that car bill, by the chains of that other car bill. So you're not free. Some of you scream you're free, but you are enslaved by some kind of addiction that nobody knows about. And it happened. And your fear of what you thought church was like also has you. Because you just know that if you tell somebody, there's going to be a freeing effect. But you also know that if you tell someone, you'll be persecuted and prosecuted. And so you do nothing, and you are enslaved by the knowledge that you have and the knowledge that you do not have. And by the assumption of what the church might think, what the pastor might think. The Bible says you will know the truth. Gospel of John. You will know the truth, and the truth will. And we wave that one around. But there is a verse that tells us why God set us free. Hebrews chapter 5. We find the answer. It is for freedom that Christ set us free. Remember last week we couldn't stop talking about songs that were Bible words? There's another one. It is for freedom we've been set free. You've been set free for the sake of freedom. Well, Craig, of course, when I'm free, I have freedom. No, I just proved to you that you didn't. But God wants it for you. This is why He says, if you will search the truth, if you will grab the truth, if you will understand the truth of what I did for you and continuing to do for you and the promise of what I'm going for you, you will be way more free than you are now. I want you to find the freedom that freedom brings. Okay? And we are going to look at some of the basics of Christianity this morning to help us both be excited about who God is and what He did, be excited about who God is and what He's doing, and be excited about who God is and what He is going to do. The initial thing that sets us free is what? Our salvation in Christ. Our salvation sets us free, okay? But a lot of people can't get over that first hump, okay? They can't. They can't. Salvation is not just a baptism thing. It's not just a instantaneous thing in a moment. It is not something that you can do any other way but through Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father but by me. However, it is broken down into three things that we talk about in our theology classes but never in our churches. Why? Because it bores most people. Not today. Not today. Today we're going to talk about justification, sanctification, and glorification. But you're going to get it. I'm going to make it so that you can understand it. I'm going to show you something that always happens. How it ties in to the beginning of the Bible, and how it ties in to the end of the Bible, and how we find who Jesus is repeating Himself over and over again in what He does for us. And I love it, okay? So, in salvation, in justification, glorification, and sanctification, which are up there, in order to understand them, you need to get the three P's, which I think are next up here. Justification, all right, sets us free from the penalty of sin. Okay? That is the salvation that you talk about. Okay? Because we are saved, there is no hell for us. See what I'm saying? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life. So what God does for you when you get saved is not something that you can be good enough for, something that you can earn, something that you can get enough money for, something that you can attend enough times for. No. For Christ died once for all. Okay? That moment on the cross wiped away all sin for anyone who will accept that it happened. Here is the gift. All you have to do is take it. And once you take it, there is no penalty for you. Well, wait, Greg, that opens a lot of doors. That's a completely different sermon. Listen to me. Once you have truly accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, neither height, nor depth, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers of darkness, nothing on heaven or on earth can separate you from the love that is in Christ Jesus. So your justification comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. Isaiah, Old Testament. Alright? Though our sins were as crimson, they shall be as wool. Though they were scarlet, they shall be white as snow. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. The end, period. You are justified in that moment. That's part A. Okay? Set free from the penalty of sin. That's what has happened. Next. The process of sanctification is what is going on now, or what should be going on now. And that is, we are set free from the power of sin. And every one of us understands the power of sin. We have that thing like Paul. There is a thorn in my flesh. We have that thing like Paul. These things I do not want to do, I do. And the things I do not want to do, these things I do. For some people, it's I have to buy. I have to have. I need more material things. Some is I need the toke. Some is I need the smoke. Some is I need the drink. Some is I need the half gallon of ice cream. I need the buffet. Some is I need that man. I need that woman. We are slaves to our sexual desires, to our emotional desires, to our material desires, to our physical desires. And God says, I am in the process. The sanctification process is the process of setting you free from the power of sin. All right? For I have not given you a spirit of fear, says the Lord, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. I am walking alongside you now, a part of who you are, so that you may have the power to overcome sin in your life. I came to earth to show you the way that that happens, by living a life 100% man, but 100% God, so that I can get all the way through it without sinning it, showing you that it could be done and asking you to follow me in that path. That is the path of sanctification. We are being set free from the power of sin. Okay? That is the process that God is doing or wants to be doing in our lives right now if we are walking with Him. And then, He wants to set us free from the presence of sin. Listen, there will come a day, He who began a good work in you will be faithful to carry it on to completion in the day of Christ Jesus. There will be a day when we are glorified, when our bodies pass away and our spirits are with the Lord, and we are, because we are with God, separated from sin. It is no longer in our presence because we are in His presence. God made Him who has no sin to become sin so that we might be His righteousness, okay? So Jesus had to come to be sin because God can't have any part of sin. Sin can't get near God. It's like two magnets turned backwards. It can't happen. So once we are glorified in His presence, sin cannot get to us. There will come a time in the future where God sets us free from the presence of sin. Okay? This is the freedom we have. Now, what do we do that stops that? Well, the first one is, well, we look at the gift and we go, I can't accept that. Either I don't believe it exists, or I don't believe that I'm good enough to have it, or I don't believe that I need to because I know Jesus and I'm good enough. But we list qualities and qualities and qualities that the Bible from beginning to end has shown us. That nobody's good enough, nobody's smart enough, nobody's wise enough. Nothing is powerful enough to bring us into the presence of God except for the blood of Jesus. That is it. There is no other way. But the world, or our friends, or our parents, or people around us are telling us we're not good enough. We're not smart enough. And listen, none of us are. We all need Jesus to come in and be the one who justifies us before God and brings us into the kingdom with Him. Okay? I don't know what's holding you back. Fear? Complacency? Tomorrow? But we all have to be saved. We all have to be in a relationship with Jesus, with God, walking with Him and celebrating that, so that He can move on to the second one, and that is the sanctification. But here's what we do. We pull the teenager thing. I don't know how many of you grew up in church. I grew up in church. And my parents can probably, if they remember, testify to this. But God, for all the things that I've done wrong, God has always had some kind of sincere Holy Spirit tug on my life. Even in my worst of times, God, the Holy Spirit, or whatever that is for you Baptists, could take me over and I could preach and teach and lead and decide with power and authority that it has never been mine. And I've had that from an early age, all right? I got saved when I was about 7 years old. I only remember that because I remember being in Miss Withers' class, and I was fourth grade, and I wanted to call her from my aunt's house and tell her. And I know who the pastor was that I prayed with, and I know who the revival preacher was that was there, and what his name was. And then, you know, 2 years later, there's another revival preacher with who was Spirit-filled. And I'm not kidding you. 3 out of the 5 nights this brother was there, I'm like, I have to go. I have to go forward. I don't know why I have to go forward. I'm already saved, but I have to go forward. And then youth camp, I got to go forward. And then sophomore year, I got to go forward. And it took me a long time to reconcile what those things were because, out of no mistake of my parents or my church, we didn't know how to deal with it. You know what we did for the last 50 years? We got people saved, and we got them in church, and we counted them. That's all we did. We got them saved and counted their numbers. So here's what we were really doing. Throwing them on a treadmill at the starting line of their faith. We threw them on a treadmill at the starting line of their faith and told them to run. But we didn't tell them where. And this is why we had to come up with words like rededication. Got some somewhere. Yes, yes. How many times do we need to rededicate our lives? Well, it's not about rededicating. It's about we screwed up. And we feel like we need something back. You're going, I know what this is like. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So now I did this. All right. I ran away and now I've come back. You don't know how many times people talk to me, Craig, I want to be baptized. And then I'm ready to go. I'm excited. Then they go again. And I'm like, there's no, you don't get saved again. You don't get baptized again. You don't get now. You can have situations where you were dumped in a pool and that wasn't your baptism. Because you had no idea what you were talking about, okay? But you were running on a treadmill that wasn't even set at the right starting line at that time, okay? We want to get you on the right treadmill. Then we want to pull the treadmill out from underneath you. So you run. Sanctification is the process of the run. The finish line is the presence. Do you understand? Okay, this is what's going on in our lives now. But what we've been taught is that we got to come back. No. Here's what we're doing. We are neglecting God's power in our life. We are neglecting the power of the one who flung the moon and the stars into the sky in our life. We are trying to overcome our financial issues by our own power. We're trying to overcome our sexual issues by our own power. We're trying to overcome our prideful issues by our own power. We're trying to overcome our can't keep our mouth shut issues by our own power. We're trying to overcome our gossip and our slander issues by our own power. And God says, there's never a time in the Bible when I ask you to do this without me. There's never been a moment in the scripture where I ask you to do this on your own. And lo, I will be what? With you. Even with the greatest call on our life, the Great Commission, God's singular promise is, I will be with you. And so we have to stop running this race on a treadmill and actually start running it toward, with, alongside Jesus. I run in the path of your commands, for you have set my heart free. I believe that's the psalmist crying out. I run in the path of your commands. There is a freedom in Christ that does come with some confines, but it's not something that you or I are going to be able to understand until we get there. It's hard to understand how freedom can be confined, but the best analogy I have for you is a football field. The game of football is a lot of fun. The game of baseball is a lot of fun. The game of soccer is a lot of fun. But if you take away the restricting sidelines and the confining end zone, let's just free ourselves from the field. And then you hand the ball to Forrest Gump. What kind of game is that now? Because he's running. You see the game, what? Ends. For the fans and the players, because there are some things, some obligations, not that we follow because they are rules. We follow because we love. And that's what's going on here in Galatians right after this. He goes back to something that could be real confusing. Mark my word! This is right after, it is for freedom you've been set free. Do not let yourself be burdened by the yoke of slavery, okay? Mark my words. I tell you that if you let yourself be circumcised, Christ will be of no value at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised, he is obligated to obey the law. You are trying to be justified by a law and have been alienated from Christ and you have fallen away from grace, but by faith will you go to your way to spirit. This doesn't really have anything to do with circumcision. It doesn't. It has everything to do with a group of people trying to pick and choose what laws they're going to like and what laws they're going to not like, and they're trying to do things to climb the ladder of being more like Jesus. Oh, I haven't been circumcised, but all the other Jews have, so in order to be a good Jew, I have to get snippity-snip. Now that I'm snippity-snip, what other rules are they going to have that I'm not going to have? How many rules did they have back when? Do I pick this one and not this one? So now, what are you enslaved to? You're enslaved to a lifetime of trying to get each and every rule done in your life. I'm not going to eat pork anymore. I'm not going to eat meat anymore. It's like the hell kicks we're trying to be on. It is. It's like that. No offense to you or anyone else, but I've been there. I've been with people who have been there. We're going to try the carb diet, and then we're going to try the Atkins diet, and then we're going to try the green diet, and then we're going to try the no cow diet, and we're going to try the no meat diet, and then we're going to be almost vegan, and then we're going to be fully vegan. Listen to me. Jesus is up there going, can I do that? it to them. But if I become the reason, the rules make sense. Because, I've taught you this before, all of the commands of God that He gives to us come back to what? The person of Jesus Christ. Thou shalt not lie. Why? I am the way, the thou shalt not steal. Why? Because I own everything. They all come back to the person. And you want to know what's cool? So does this. Next slide. Justification is the was. You were justified at your salvation. That is, that has happened. You are, is, you are now going through the process of sanctification. And glorification is to come for those who are Jesus Christ. Was, is to come. Revelation, we've been studying, chapter 1. What does Jesus say He is? I am the Alpha and the Omega. Who? Come on. Was and
is.
And
is to come.
The process is even based after who He is. Do you want another one? Go to the next slide. You are justified yesterday in your salvation in Christ. Today, you are going through the process of sanctification, and you will forever be glorified in Christ on that day. Third day, and your love is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yeah, this happens to be a Bible verse! Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. This is not what Jesus commands. It is who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for you. Here's the thing. I have somehow got to help you be free by telling you two things. Stop trying and start trying all at the same time. And that's difficult. That's one I can't do in 20 minutes in a sermon. Do you understand that? That is one that has to happen in personal Bible study. That is one that has to happen in personal worship time. That's one that has to happen when somebody's reading the scripture and comes into my office and goes, I read this, and that doesn't make any sense. It's what happened to me this week when I read about circumcision. And I'm going, Paul, we just had this whole argument in the book of Acts about how you were actually defending circumcision and how you said it doesn't need to happen and leave them alone and then get them. And I'm confused. Study to show yourself what? Approved, which is another Bible verse. Go figure. And then you will be able to what? Test and approve what God's will is. Is good, pleasing, perfect will. What? Another Bible verse. When you know, the story comes together. And it comes together in who Jesus is. And if you know that the author of the universe, from day one to the end of time, is swinging the bat for you, your fears, your addictions, your anxiety that binds you will bind you no more, and for freedom, you will be set free. I really want to bust into Let It Go. Man, if I'd have known exactly where that would end up, I'd have probably had that video up and come to that moment, and I'd have looked at you, and then up there she'd have gone, you know. That would have been. Let me finish with this. Salvation is broken down into three parts: justification, sanctification, and glorification. And they're not deep theology, they're not hard. Justification is setting you free from the punishment of sin. Alright? Sanctification is helping you be set free every day from the power that sin has in your life. And glorification is forever setting you free in Christ from the presence of sin. And if you believe that, and if you understand that God is going to battle with you, and if you understand that God has you, and if you understand that there's no place you can go apart from Him, and if you understand that there's nothing you can do apart from Him, and all of these scriptures from yesterday, from today, and forever, then you will, in fact, find yourself free in the morning, free from anxiety, free from worry. But Craig, I'm not free. It's okay. We're all in the process of sanctification. But knowing that there is an answer, knowing that there is a key, knowing there as a father makes the process, whether we want to go through it or not, more palatable. John Piper tells a story about several kids being over at his home. And everybody left, which sometimes happens, and the home was still a mess. So his four-year-old boy is told to clean up. And of course, it looks overwhelming to this four-year-old boy to clean up a giant room. Tayson's looked at me, but I didn't do it all. I know, but you didn't. Every one of us have heard that. And so there are two options for the father there, and an understanding moment for the child. The father goes, you have 30 minutes to get it cleaned up, or you are punished. And then the kid goes through the process of, do I obey, do I not obey, do I get it done, do I not get it done, and it's a laborious process. Or the dad says, let's play a game. Let's see which one of us can get these put away the fastest, and to get these put away in the right direction. You against me on the count of three. One, two, three. And in less than 3 or 4 minutes, these people together have taken care of it. This is how the Father looks at you and your addiction and your financial problems and your fear of salvation and your fear of religion. This is, I will do it with you, my child. And understanding that gives us a little more glimpse into freedom already. The rest of it comes as we grow in Christ and who He is yesterday, today, forever.